So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Guy tells a story about driving away from Los Angeles Airport, and there was a huge, brilliantly illuminated billboard that he saw that arrested his attention. We're not used to billboards in Maine, and I'm extremely thankful for that. It was one of the things that when I moved to Maine, I actually enjoyed greatly, because you go anywhere else, there's these massive billboards, and they have all these messages. They're trying to get your attention. He said this billboard carried one simple message in three simple words. Keep hope alive. He said, I must tell you, it was the most compelling billboard that I've ever seen in my life. Keep hope alive. Because keeping hope alive is actually, he says, the number one priority of the city of Los Angeles today. He says, we're in trouble. We're broken. We're hurting. If hope dies, the city will die with it. Keeping hope alive is like oxygen to our lungs. That is hope to our spirit. It says your spirit dies when hope dies. We all need to keep hope alive, he says. He says they may not bury you for a while, but without hope, you're dead. One author quotes, he says, lost hope is an undertaker's best friend. Hope is absolutely essential and vital to our lives. Hope is an anchor to our souls, and without it, our heart would break. With hope, with real hope, you and I can face the present, and with hope, we can face the future with confidence. Without hope, you and I die. That could not be closer to the truth for the hope that you and I celebrate today, is it not? And as much as I agree with what he says, keeping hope alive is important, I am here to tell you that our hope, folks, is alive. Matter of fact, that's what Peter says. Christ's resurrection from the dead gives you and I a hope that lives on for all eternity, because Christ lives on for all eternity. Amen. Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ is alive, and those who have placed their faith in him has a hope that will never, ever die. You can't kill that hope, because that hope is in Christ, and he already died, and he rose from the dead, and that's who we're celebrating today. Praise be to God. Peter is writing to individuals who actually may be in danger of forgetting this truth and who are in danger of losing hope because of all the sufferings and the trials that they are facing. And that's what happens when life comes at us, is it not? We begin to lose hope. We begin to fix our attention on this world, take our attention off of the hope that we have in Christ, and we become discouraged. Peter is reminding them that they have a hope that lives on for all eternity because Christ has risen from the dead. Our hope is not dead because the one in whom we hope in lives, and he will live forever. Therefore, you and I have a hope that cannot die. He begins this section with how you and I began our service today. Praise be to God. Praise be to God for the living hope that we have in his Son, in Jesus Christ. We can praise him because he has caused us to be born again, not into futility, not into despair, not into hopelessness, but into a living hope. This hope is not based on anything that you and I have done, is it? It is based on God's great mercy and our faith in Jesus Christ. We are born into this hope. You and I cannot be born out of this hope. And this hope is only more fully realized when we die. It is a state or condition that you and I are living in right now. Folks, there is no other hope in this world. The answer to the world's problems is Jesus Christ. Nothing or nobody can undo the effects of sin save the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the only hope we have. And I don't want anyone to leave here today without receiving that hope. That is a hope that he offers anybody, no matter what you've done in life, no matter what your past is, no matter how many sins you have committed, Christ died on that cross so that you can have a living hope. And so that hope can get you through every single day, no matter how difficult it is, for the rest of your life. We cannot have a hope for a future if our past has not been dealt with, and Christ does just that. Our hope is alive and is active. It is experienced here and now. It is reality because the one we hope in lives. I see three specifics in this passage that we're going to look at today regarding this living hope. The first one is, it is a hope of an imperishable inheritance, verses 4 through 5. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. How many people lost power past weekend? Raise your hands. A lot of power outages? Oh, so not as many. Holy cow. You guys were the blessed ones. Learned a lot about things that perish this past weekend. Wish I didn't, but I did. It was a lesson once again. And I failed the test, the trial. So not good, not a good lesson. But I learned about perishable items. I learned, even though I kind of knew it, but I like to test things out before I really, you know, believe them. I learned that if you keep gas in a generator, right, for more than, I guess, just a few months, and then you try to turn that generator back on when you need it the most because your basement is rising in water at the moment, you're pulling the cord, that the gas goes bad. So gas perishes. So learn a lesson. Gas perishes. I wish I had known that before the 300th pull on the generator. You know what else perishes is food perishes. Food perishes really quickly. It's amazing. You would think, unless you're eating Twinkies, right? Forget it. Everything else is perishing. Because 4 hours, the FDA says 4 hours without power to your refrigerator, 4 hours less if you're opening that refrigerator up and seeing if things are still in there, keeping it, everything's okay, right? That perishes very, very quickly. After pulling the cord for the 300th time, I had a pain in my arm that I had in a muscle I never knew existed. And it reminded me of another thing that perishes, which is what? Our bodies, right? Everything is what? Perishing. Everything is falling apart around us. What is Peter doing here? It's what we're doing here today. Where are we fixing our eyes? We're not fixing our eyes in this world, are we? We're not fixing our eyes on the troubles that we have, though they may be great. We're not fixing our eyes on the things that perishes. Peter fixes their eyes on an inheritance that will absolutely never, ever, ever fade away. That's the hope you and I have. Now, I wish I would remember that as I'm watching my house fall apart before me and things are going absolutely terrible. Well, we don't. So this is why we need these reminders. But he is talking to people who are suffering and actually may be losing their possessions because of persecution, because of their faith in Christ. These are people who actually may be losing their earthly inheritance. And he says, don't worry about it. You have an inheritance in heaven that will never ever fade away. Your salvation is protected. It is reserved for you. Nobody or nothing can touch that. Everything around us is deteriorating, isn't it? Maybe you're here today. Maybe your life seems to just be falling apart. Maybe you've come here today and you're losing hope. Maybe you've never had hope. This is a certain future, folks. The hope that we have in our salvation, our eternal inheritance, is not wishful thinking. It is a certain future for anyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ. Sin has ruined this world. You and I can't fix it. Our technology can't fix it. Our wisdom can't fix it. Nobody can fix it. Christ reverses the curse of sin. Christ gives you and I an inheritance that will never fade away. I love that one word in there. It says it's undefiled. It's undefiled. It's not impure. It's not touched by sin. You know, often we have things in this world, I know that we don't enjoy things the way that we should because of sin, because of our sin and the sin in this world. And here in heaven, he's promising that this inheritance that we have, this salvation that we have, this reward that we have is undefiled. It is absolutely pure, and you and I are going to enjoy it in an absolutely pure state because of the purity that Christ has given us. This is what we are moving towards. This is the hope that we have. I may lose my house, may lose my food. I'm going to lose my body one day, but I'm never going to lose my salvation and the inheritance I have in Christ. It is an absolute sure hope that he promises us, and it is reserved. You notice that word, reserved? It means to be protected. I go to yard sales quite often, and sometimes at yard sales, I'll see a pile sitting there. And it's usually a pile that has a ton of good stuff in it. And I go over to the pile and I head right to it. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And someone goes, I'm sorry, that's reserved. And they're sitting there guarding that. And I hate that. And again, it should make me fix my eyes on the real things, right? But it's protected, it is reserved. And that's what Peter is saying there. It has your name on it. It's got Michael's name on it. Got Isaac's name on it. It's got Jane's name on it. It's reserved in heaven for you, and it is protected by the strongest guard that has ever existed, God Almighty. No one's going to touch it because you're protected. You see what he says there? You're going to get it because God is escorting you to heaven, and he is going to give it to you. Do you see what he's doing for these people who are going through these trials? He is fixing their hope, their certain future in heaven. It's as if it has already happened. Second specific here, it is a hope that gives us joy in suffering. Verses 6 through 7. In this living hope, in this assured inheritance, in this you greatly rejoice. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So let the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The following little poem or song was written by an 8-year-old girl. An 8-year-old girl who was blind. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Maybe you've heard of her. Her name is Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby would go on to write numerous hymns, a plethora of hymns and songs, which had a theme that was often present in those songs. You know what that theme was? It was joy. It was joy in the midst of her suffering, a joy that was fueled by the hope that she had in Jesus Christ. She literally rejoiced in her suffering as she wrote songs of joy in the midst of being blind. She wrote Blessed Assurance. She wrote The Old Rugged Cross. And she wrote, To God Be the Glory. Later on, she was quoted saying this: It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank Him for that dispensation. I thank Him for that gift. She said, If perfect earthly sight were offered to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me. She sees God in her suffering. She sees purpose and meaning behind her suffering. She does not look, she can't look at the things of this world. She keeps her eyes fixed on the hope she has in heaven and rejoices because of it. That's the hope that we have. It's a hope that transcends our pain. It's a hope that transcends our trials. It's a hope that no one can steal or take from us in the center of those trials as we suffer and we struggle in this world. It's a hope that we have in heaven to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. The future hope that we have in Christ, and knowing that we are protected, knowing that you and I will receive an inheritance, knowing that nothing can take that away from us, knowing it is protected in heaven, this future hope gives a present joy. We often get discouraged in life, don't we? Pain and suffering and trials do that. It's two words that we don't think go together, joy and suffering. We don't like that word, if necessary, right? He says, if necessary. But before that, Peter says another phrase. He says the phrase, a little while, doesn't he? Even if for now, for a little while. And if you were with us for the Gospel of John, we remember that phrase, don't we? Who said that phrase to Peter? Jesus said that phrase to Peter. He said, I'm going to go in a little while. You're not going to see me, and then you're going to see me in a little while. And I'm sure that encouraged Peter at that time, and that's why Peter is now saying it to them, and that's why we're here today. I'm here today saying it to you in a little while. You see what he does there? Your suffering and your pain and your trials and all those things, it's only for a little while. It's only temporary. The hope that you have in Christ is for how long? Eternity. It's forever. And here on earth, it's going to look like a bad night in a bad hotel. That's it. We're going to forget all about it, folks. In a little while. In a little while. Hang on. Hang on. It's just a little while. A little while longer you're going to receive that inheritance. A little while longer you're going to receive your salvation. A little while longer your pain and your suffering and your tears are going to be no more. It's just a little while longer. Not only that, he tells us that there's a purpose behind our suffering. It gives us hope and that helps, but we kind of don't want to hear that one too, right? God is actually, he's using suffering to do what? He's using suffering to purify our faith. Our faith is precious to him. And he is purifying that faith because that is going to increase that reward in heaven. And when our reward in our when we go through so much suffering and pain here, the greater the joy is going to be in heaven. Your faith, which is being tested, is more precious than gold, which is what? Perishable. You see what he's doing? Not only is God doing something in us as we suffer, not only is he purifying us, not only is he sanctifying us, but as we go through this and as we go through this and persevere through it in faith at the revelation of Jesus Christ, he is glorified in it. Two things, two results. We're purified, he's glorified. That's the hope that we have. Suffering does not mean that God does not care for us. It is a telltale sign of his love. It is a telltale sign that you and I belong to him. God cares for our faith. He wants us to enter into an eternal glory full of eternal reward and allows us to participate in such various trials in order to purify our faith and thereby increase our joy. God is working in us, testing our faith. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? When you're in the middle of it. No matter what it is we're going through, God has a purpose for it. And sometimes we fail. Praise be to God for his great mercy, right? Folks, we're here today to celebrate the victory over all suffering and the victory over the ultimate suffering and the ultimate pain, the ultimate sting, which is death. That on the other side of our temporary pain and our trials is an eternal glory and an eternity spent with the one we love, Jesus Christ. Brings us to our third specific. It is a hope that knows our faith will one day be sight, verses 8 and 9 as we finish up here. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of that which is unseen. Peter saw Jesus. He saw him and he loved him. But as one commentator says, it was not his physical association that joins him to Jesus, but it is faith in Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus' presence with Peter. Peter and we share in the same faith, and that faith is expressed in a deep love for Christ. Here is the grounding of our hope. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. This is who our hope is in. Our hope, your hope, is not found in a theory. It's not found in some sort of formula. Your hope is not found in this church. Your hope is not found in a specific denomination. And your hope definitely is not found in man. Your hope is found in the risen, living Jesus Christ. And faith is not some sort of intellectual assent to a theological truth, but it is a life-changing love. Peter qualifies it as a love for Jesus Christ, a love that changes us because Christ's presence now lives inside of us, a life that changes erases our past, forgives our past, and gives us a certain future. This is probably one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Because it speaks to our experience, doesn't it? We love him. We haven't seen him. We love him. We love him because we know what he did for us. My past, your past, he paid for that past. Brought us into a relationship with the one whom we rebelled from. You love him. And knowing him by faith gives us a foretaste of the joys here and now. He says it's inexpressible joy. It overwhelms your heart. There's no words for the joy that we have in Christ. And if you have not experienced that joy, I would again implore you, do not leave here today unless you do. That is a joy he offers each and every single one of us. It is a joy that begins here and now in this life and continues on for all eternity because we will live with him forever. And when we experience trials, when we go through suffering here, we do not go through that alone because he is with us. We can look at the future with confidence, and the love that we have for him motivates us to endure these trials, knowing one day, our faith will be sight. In an issue of Christianity Today magazine, singer-songwriter Sandra McCracken writes this. She says, I visited the Natural Portrait Gallery recently in Washington, D.C. She said, in its elegant hallways, a wide range of well-lit paintings are displayed side by side. politicians, war heroes, athletes, musicians, and presidents. It's a library of human faces, a silent visual documentary of who we are. She says, in particular, I was moved by Robert McCurdy's portrait of the late author Toni Morrison. She says, the oil on canvas looks like a photograph. She reveals no discernible expression, but radiates light from within. There is integrity, she says, and sorrow and tenacity in her face. McCurdy aims for the viewer to be able to have their own personal encounter with the subject. It is a powerful face-to-face experience with somebody that you've never met in person. She continues and says, God has designed us for face-to-face encounters, which is perhaps why he orchestrated the ultimate face-to-face encounter in the incarnation. God himself took on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, born as a baby, that you and I could see the face of God in Jesus. 1 Peter 1:8 acknowledges the mystery. And even though we have this unfulfilled longing to see the incarnate Christ, we love him anyway. We have stared at Christ through the eyes of faith for years. It is fixing our eyes on him that helps us persevere towards the ultimate day when you and I will obtain our salvation and when we will see the one in whom we hoped. We cannot read this without picking up on Peter's use of another temporal word. You don't see him now. You don't see him now, but guess what, folks? There is coming a time when you will gaze upon his face, and when you do, that time will never, ever, ever end. He's alive. You'll look at him for all eternity. Praise be to God for the living hope we have in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, when we see him, we're going to see the faces of all of our loved ones that have gone before us who loved him with the same love. We'll see them, we'll see him, we'll see each other. And folks, that is the living hope that you and I have in Christ. That's the billboard God has for us today. Heavenly Father, we absolutely praise you. We praise you for the hope that we have in Christ. It is a purifying hope, Lord. It is a living hope. It is a certain hope. Lord, come back now. We don't want to wait any longer. We want to gaze upon Christ's face, Lord. We want to praise you for all eternity. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone here today that has not received that hope, I pray that they don't leave here today without doing so. Lord, tomorrow may be different for us. We may face extreme difficulties. Keep this truth fresh in our minds. Remind us day after day, no matter what we are facing, that our hope lives on because Christ is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.